Hi everyone, welcome to We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Saylat.
And this is Kalina.
And welcome to our podcast where we talk about paranormal romance novels after we've read them. In our case, usually we listen to them through audiobooks, but yeah.
So you're joining us once again. We appreciate that. Yay. Thank you.
I've got a cold, people, so you're going to hear me with cough drops and unwrapping stuff and sniveling and coughing and clearing my throat, so I apologize in advance. Hopefully it won't be too bad.
We'll do our best to talk around it.
Some tea.
So, anything else fun going on in your... Well, I mean, you're sick, so that's not fun.
No, but I mean, I got back from Cal. I woke up on Friday and I... Not Friday, Monday. And I had some itching in my throat and I was like, oh, fuck, I gotten sick. But flew to San Diego to surprise my cousin who was getting married at the end of this month at her bachelorette party. And it was awesome. Made her cry. We did it in cahoots with our other girl cousins and so... It was neat. She thought I was our other girl cousin. But she came running up to the car. She was like, glad you made it, bitch. Because she thought I was the other cousin. And I jumped out of the car. I said, who made it? And she goes, la! And started crying. And it was awesome.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It was so cool. So yeah, everybody did wine tasting. Except for me.
That's no fun for you. Nice. I mean, it's really fun for the rest of us.
Yeah. It was cool. I think we should go do something like that.
Oh, absolutely. We got good wine tasting out on the Western Slope.
Oh, yeah?
We're in, like, Palisades, yeah.
Oh.
There's a lot of wine. That's wine country in Colorado.
That's so funny. I was like, I think someone had asked me if we had anything like that here. I was like, nope, not at all. But also you're asking the person that doesn't drink wine, so.
Like, nope. Yeah, yeah. No, we have delightful no vineyards on the Western Slope of Colorado.
We don't know what wine is here.
We do. We are a microbrew city, though. That's much more prevalent.
That is what we are known for.
But we do have our wines. Just, we can't grow them here in Denver. They're over there.
Right.
Where
right.
things grow on the other side of the state. Well, I'm glad you're back. Sad you're sick.
Thank you.
I think it's time we discussed the book that we read for this week's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we did Hot and Badgered by Shelley Laurenston, narrated by Tracy Odom. And for this week's Clits Notes, right? Clits Notes.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an easy book to piece down into short...
To clits.
It's just not. So the basic idea behind the story is there are three sisters. They're all half-sisters. They're three half-sisters. Charlie, Max, and Stevie. They're all part, at least half, honey badger shifter. Charlie is honey badger and wolf. Max is all honey badger, so honey badger father and mother. And then Stevie is honey badger and tiger. They are very close. They've had a lot of trauma in their lives. They hate their father. That's the parent that they share. The common parent for them is honey badger father, who is of the McKilligan clan, which is a very large and sprawling clan, and it would super help if they had a, like, Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones style chart of relationship, family tree,
yeah,
that popped out when you read this book, because goddamn it is really
so
hard
many.
To follow people.
So many.
But that's okay. So there's these three sisters. They've had a hard life. They are always getting into trouble because of shit their father's done to them or, like, caused to happen in their lives. Stevie's a super brilliant genius. She's a prodigy in everything, music, science, math, whatever. She's just, like, off the charts. And so the other sisters kind of take it upon themselves to, like, protect Stevie and just make sure that things run smoothly for her, because otherwise their father's going to sell her to slavery or something mm-hmm. stupid. So they almost get killed. They're running around, basically. They meet up with some other shifters, a trio of bears, these triplet bears of Berg, Dag, and Britta, who are just delightful
so
grizzly bears, and I love them. And they kind of help them through a whole bunch of series of things that are happening in their lives, figure out who's trying to get them this time, and kind of stop it. And in the meantime, during all of this, Charlie, the oldest sister, and Berg, one of the bears, develop a budding romance, and they get together, and it's so cute. I love this book. So, all the intricate pieces about this story, it's not possible to tell you.
There are so many different wheels of this book. It's incredible. I had a really hard time following this book. I didn't like it when I first listened to it, but granted, I started listening to it when I found out I was sick. Like, I was just on the height of my sickness. And today I feel much better. But God, I was like, Kalina, this book sucks.
Yes. We were texting before I had started reading it. And I had such high hopes for this book because I thought it was going to just be really cute and funny. And, like, not take itself seriously because mm-hmm. it's a fucking book about honey badgers, right? They are, like, the, you know, joke animal right now. Like, oh, honey badger, don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where that comes from, but it's something in pop culture right now. And so I thought, there's no way this book takes itself seriously. True. And she's telling me it's not funny and that she doesn't understand it and then she doesn't like it. And I got real sad and I was like, oh no. Mm-hmm. And then I started it and, like, first 15 minutes of the book, I texted her. I was like, you're wrong. This book is fucking hilarious. But again, I have a caveat. You are listening to it sick. My caveat is I'm listening to it on, like, right at the height of my period. Yeah. So I'm at my most hormonal, and I think maybe I'm just keyed to really like shit right now and be really emotional and cry about crap. And I was, like, crying about this book. And you were miserable and hated everything, and so you hate this book. Yeah, so maybe the way we feel in the world impacts the way we read books.
I absolutely, you know what, I believe that. I think that that's true because today I feel much better. And as I finished the rest of this book, and it was just the last 3 hours, 3.5 hours, I did think some of it was funny and I did like it. Well, that's mainly also when the sex scenes started coming, but still.
Yes,
we're good. I was like,
at the end.
Yeah, the sex scenes were good. There was still a lot of jumping around with a lot of characters. And
there is a lot.
Happening.
I'm not going to deny that.
I think I think that is why I was just like, what the fuck is going on, and I just couldn't sit still to pay attention.
No. Well, I think that's incredibly important because we're doing this, you know, we're reading for a podcast, so we're on kind of a schedule. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of like, no, I'll get to it when I feel like reading.
Right.
Whereas typically that's how I read. Like, I'll go through spurts where I just am carnivorous with books and I'm going through them, like, you know, multiple ones a week, and then I'll hit a patch where I'm just like, I don't feel like reading right now mm-hmm. and I don't read anything. But we can't do that because we have to read for our podcast. So there's going to be times I think when you're not in the mood and you're forced to listen to a book, you're going to be like, I just don't enjoy this.
Sure.
And that kind of translates into your feelings of the book, regardless of what the book's about.
Right, regardless of that. I will have to say, though, that I will take an audiobook over reading any day of the week. Because reading is even, it's just harder for me, so.
Yeah. I really like both. I'll do either. Like, this one I really wish I had.
Read it?
I loved the narrator. She was great. Mm-hmm. But the past 2 days is when I've been reading it or listening to it, which has been, it's a holiday for those in the future. It was 4th of July this week. So I was just home alone because I'm boring and don't do shit on holidays. And listening to a book is really weird if I don't have something to do. Normally I'm at work and so it's mm-hmm. fine because I'm doing something else. So that's why I've, you know, accomplished like 3 puzzles in the past 2 days because I was like, I have to have something to do while I'm listening to this. Otherwise I'm just laying on my bed listening to mm-hmm. someone tell me a story and I'm just like, I can't. That's too boring.
Yeah.
So if I had had the book, it would have been, I think, easier. I could have just read it mm-hmm. as opposed to like trying to find something else to do while I'm listening. Anyway, so let's talk about these characters, because I think that's what really drew me in for this book.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of our most well fleshed out characters.
I would have to agree with that.
They're very little stereotypical from other books. Like, there's some of the same interactions and stuff between characters, but it's not like we couldn't cookie cutter some of our other male characters out and put them into, like, they're just not, these are not the same. These are much more in, like, detailed and deep characters, mm-hmm. I think. So all the sisters have issues, some form of
seeing that
issues. They're very open about it. Stevie is very, very open about her panic disorder and
her anxiety.
Depression. Charlie has a generalized anxiety disorder and depression, and they are pretty sure that Max is psychotic.
Pretty sure she is. I'm gonna go with
she's
that
a little
too.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, but they all are medicated. They have doctors and, you know, therapy, and Stevie likes to check herself into
rehab.
Well, no, not rehab, mental health institutions.
Oh, health institutions.
Yeah, mental health.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Really nice ones.
Yeah,
though.
It's very, very rich ones. But she does just periodically check herself mm-hmm. into sanitariums, basically,
yep.
for talk therapy and relaxation. So, but that's just, you know, I liked how open they were about it. They talked about their mental health issues, but then it didn't define them.
Right.
I mean, a little Stevie a little bit more, but Stevie's also mostly defined by her genius.
Yeah.
Which isn't easy, you know, if she sounds like she'd been a prodigy from a child. She's, mm-hmm. like, wrote a symphony at, like, age 7 or something and was directing a...
Conducting,
thank you. Conducting an orchestra at, like, 9. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... When you are like that from a young age, yeah. I think that you're bound to have some kind of, yes. things crop up in your life.
So that she, and the high IQ.
High IQ, mm-hmm. and just... And then the throw on top of it a honey badger tiger mix, and you got a really weird, you know, person.
She's so weird.
She's so funny.
She's cute, but she's weird.
Yeah, she is. They find her in cabinets a lot.
She's just climbing over the, like, just hanging off the ceiling or off the wall. Hissing at people. It's
really funny. So, and then Charlie, as the oldest, she's kind of had to take care of her younger sisters, so she kind of takes on the role of parent. They lost their mothers very young and had to go and move in with Charlie's grandfather's wolf pack, and so she kind of, and no one in the wolf pack really took care of these kids because they weren't family. They, mm-hmm. weren't cubs of the pack, so they let them live and they fed them, but that's about the extent of what they did for them. Mm-hmm. They didn't train them or teach them about society of shifters or anything, so they don't really know much. They're loners. Their family doesn't like them. Mm-hmm. The other McKilligans disown them because apparently their father's just the fucking worst.
Piece of shit, dad.
He's real terrible. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's an Irish or a Scottish branch of the McKilligans that is, like, nice and well-to-do and whatever. And then there's the American McKilligans, which nobody seems to like very much. And they fight amongst themselves a lot. So the sisters are always, you know, arguing and getting into trouble, but also taking care of them, you know, mm-hmm. each other. So Charlie is, like, the big sister caretaker. And then they run into the bears, mostly into Berg. Mm-hmm. Berg and his triplets, Dag and Britta. Mm-hmm. And they live in this... area of Brooklyn or the Bronx?
It's in the
some
it's in the burbs. It's
borough not in of
the, yeah yeah
of it's not New York, in the, yeah. one of the New York boroughs.
Yeah, whatever.
But there's a whole neighborhood of bears, and he brings them there for a safe house, and they start renting a house from one of the other bears. And then, oh my god, you guys, this book is so good. So good.
She brings in a lot of, like, actual animalistic bear and wolf and tiger, badger, honey badger characteristics into these characters, mm-hmm. of what they're supposed to be. And it is just cute. It's good writing.
It really is. It's really so fun. Different. It's really tongue-in-cheek. Like, when Charlie gets stressed and things are just too much, she just screams, I have to bake! And she runs off into the kitchen and just starts baking things.
And then the neighborhood comes in with, like, a list of bakes that are like, bake me these.
So she bakes, so like, all day one day. And then they, like, she's out in the other room talking or something, and then all of a sudden she comes back into her kitchen, and all the bears have come into the kitchen and are eating her baked goods. And everyone's just like, well, you left the window open. Yep. The bears just can't help themselves.
They're bears.
So, yeah. So there's a lot of that, like, the honey badger, like, Max, who's a full-blown honey badger, mm-hmm. loves to raid the hives, because the bears all keep beehives. Come on, you guys. This book is fucking great. So the bears all keep beehives, and Max is always running around stealing the bees, but then, like, eating full honeycomb while bees are, like, stinging her face. Yeah. Because in real life, in the wild, honey badgers do that. They, like, mm-hmm. eat, and, like, they get stung, they get porcupine quills in their face, and, you know, it just doesn't harm them that much.
That's what...
They just roll with it.
Honey badger don't care.
Bunny. Honey badger don't care.
That's where that comes from.
So she's doing all this kind of stuff, and it's really funny. I think the key to this book is family dynamics. Mm-hmm. It's all about, for these different packs or these different groups, it's all about their family. So, you know, even though the McKilligans are not great, like, mm-hmm. she comes to, like, Charlie and her sisters come to the aid of their aunt to help when she asks for it, and then the brother, the bears all, like, they call on each other to, mm-hmm. like, protect the badgers when mm-hmm. they're under attack, and then, like, the Wolverine family shows up after their youngest brother has been kicked, had his ass kicked by one of the honey badgers, and then mm-hmm. they show up to Rumble, and, to, you know, it's just, there's a lot of family, like, families are hard and mm-hmm. difficult in these books, and they fight, there's a lot of infighting, but then they stand up for each other, mm-hmm. And are like, no, I can punch my brother, yeah. but you can't punch my brother.
Right. Like, shows a true bond.
Yeah. So I think that's really neat. And it's something that ties them all together for this, because Charlie struggles with, you know, she doesn't want to like Berg. Like mm-hmm. he comes, you know, early on, he asks her out. He's like, I want to, you know, take you out. And she's like, no, we're all cursed. McKilligan mm-hmm. women are cursed, and I can't, because, you know, that shows poor decision making skills on your part if you want to go out with right. me after
it's gonna be your fault.
Like, I don't have anything good to offer you. It's all just crazy sisters who do batshit things, and mm-hmm. no good comes of it. And because she's never had that real family structure in her life, they've all passed, and then she ended up living with wolves who didn't like her. So she's getting to experience this all for the first time, because he's like, this doesn't seem that weird, because he lives with his triplet grizzly bear brother and sister mm-hmm. in a small house. And, well, actually, it's a large house. Everything seems very bear-sized.
It has to be bear-sized. Everything. They're fucking grizzlies.
These are all, like, all of the men, the grizzly men are described as just, like, 7, almost 8 feet tall, and, like, muscle, and, yeah. They sounded pretty attractive.
I don't want it to seem like I did not enjoy this book. I know, I just want to put it out there. I've just had a hard time with it, because I had a really hard time just being human in general. Yeah. But, I mean, listening to you explain this book and how you feel about it, I can see all of that, and I can understand all of it. Because, like I said, the last 3 hours that I listened to it today, I did mm-hmm. enjoy it, but not as much, because then I'd miss the first 10 mm-hmm. hours, because I was just being sick. So,
it was a lot. There were a lot of characters, and I don't think I could even... I definitely know I can't tell you all their names, because they just came at you. Fast and furious with the names. Mm-hmm. Tracy did a fucking amazing job, though, because she did so many accents for this book. A lot of the wolves, for some reason, were Southern. I don't feel as if wolves are very prevalent in the South as a rule, but that's, you know, who knows? I could be wrong on that. But anyway, a lot of wolves were Southern. So she had to do all these Southern accents and, like, different men, you know, male and female Southern accents. She did some Scottish accents, Irish accents. There were some Italians in the book. The bears. So polar bears and panda bears talk very slow, apparently.
So slow.
And they're always being made fun of for being slow-witted and not very fast, especially the polar bears. Like, this one polar bear at one point has Stevie, like, just clawing his back, like, stuck on him because yep. he's a good bear mm-hmm. and she's not afraid of him like she is the other bears, and he's just like, oh, get the pony badger off my back.
Can you please get her off my back?
But he's not, like, aggressive about right? it or anything. Just, and the other bears are laughing. I mean, it's just, it's really well done. Like, Tracy does a really good job with this, because there's a lot of moving pieces and moving yeah. accents. There's yeah. a Russian accent. I mean, there's just so much happening. And you're not wrong. Like, it was hard to follow. There mm-hmm. were times where I was like, who to what? Who's related to what? But if you kind of just put that all aside, because it's not all that important for the overall story.
Maybe, yeah, really. I know. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot happening, but you're like, the pieces kind of fall into place by the end. Like, this, you know, for us, the true story is Charlie and Berg. Mm-hmm. And Berg just, he is absolutely exactly what I would like more of these men to be like in these books. You know, so many of the past books we've read, we've struggled with some of the men in the books. There's the sense of hyper-masculinity.
Yeah.
They're very overprotective. Even, like, they're aggressive. Like, Berg and his brothers and sisters are in the protection game. Like, that's what they get paid to do. They, you know, travel with celebrities and are bodyguards, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't try to pull that with Charlie at all. He's like, hey, I'd like to date. I think it's cool. And she's like, no, I'm crazy. My family's crazy and I don't like it. And he's like, okay. And he just hangs around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, her sisters tell him to do that. They are like, you just gotta, what did they say? You gotta lost dog it or?
What was it? Yeah. It was something like that.
Stray dog.
Stray dog. Stray dog. Stevie,
so you just show up like a stray dog and you stay until they take you in.
Yep. You stray dog it. And she kept, screaming that every once in a manly. Stray dog it. Yeah.
So he just hung out. Like, he'd help her, but he wouldn't help her. He
overbearingly.
And he didn't take away her agency.
Nope.
She still ran this book. Like, mm-hmm. she knew what to do. She, like, at one point, he called in the Bear Protection Council or something. I don't remember what their name. BPC, I think. Yeah.
I think that's right.
Because they're, it's so hard to explain. There's this other group called The Group, and I don't understand, but I think they kill shifters who might pose a threat to humans or might expose them. They're like kind of like try to wrangle that and prevent exposure. And so they were trying to get at the McKilligan girls, and he was trying to help protect them. So he called the BPC. He didn't really consult her on that. But then she agrees to this meeting, and she goes into the meeting, and instead of letting them have a pissing contest over how this is going to go, she just straight up is like, this is the situation, and you're all going to help now. Mm-hmm. And they did. And he just walked out like, I did not expect it to go that well. So he like lets her do her thing and be as weird and crazy as she needs to be. And then he just is there to take the burden, you know, off her, like, if she needs it. To give her a place to go to be away from her sisters.
He's a fallback on. Yeah, a place to fall back on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, you don't have to do it all alone. I can help carry the weight. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take it from you and make you give it to me, but I'm just going to be here until you ask for it. And that's, like, so fucking good. It was so good.
We need more men like this written about. We need more men like this.
I was seriously just like sobbing and like horny all simultaneously throughout like this book. I was just like, why am I in love with this man so much? And it was just because I actually saw a lot of myself and characteristics in Charlie. I don't have like any of that weird trauma past shit that she has. But I know why. I'm not a wolf honey badger. So obviously there's that I don't share with her. But at one point she's got to clean up a house and a lot of people offer to help. They're like, oh, we'll come over tomorrow and help. And she's like, yeah, sure, that'll be fine. And then she cleans the whole house that night before they ever come over.
Yep.
And they're all like, man, we would have helped you. And she's like, well, it's just easier when I do things myself, because then I just do them, and then they're done, and they're done right, and if I wait and I try to explain things to other people, then they aren't getting done right, and then it's just a mess, and I have to just do it myself.
So
anyway.
True. I can see and that in you.
Like, that whole speech is the one I've actually given. I was like, of course it's easier to do shit by yourself, because other people make a mess out of it.
Or they keep asking you continually after you've repeated many times, this is how you do it.
Having to explain how to do shit is so much harder than just doing shit.
Yep.
So I don't like, anyway, I understand the negative aspects of that, and it's not great, especially if people are offering to help you. You should accept the help and, you know, try to do that as graciously as possible. But I really, like, I understood Charlie in that moment. I was just like, that is exactly how the world is. Mm-hmm. It's just easier. A lot of things are just easier to do yourself. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not worth the help. So I saw myself at her a lot, you know, like the generalized anxiety disorder, the just constant worrying about how to fix things or how to make sure things continue along smoothly without any interruptions, or like keep everything, all the plates spinning, just keep them all spinning in the air simultaneously.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing that by yourself. And so I saw a lot of me and Charlie, and
I could
so
totally see that.
Like, seeing a person like Bird come into her life who isn't going to tell her, don't do that, because you can't fix that. That's how people are.
Right.
Like, if you're an anxious person who behaves this way, that's not going away. She's on medicine. Doesn't mean it's going to be gone.
Right.
It's
right.
controlled, but it's not.
It doesn't fix it.
No, it doesn't take away the way you see. Mm-mm. That's just how you approach the world. Like, so, but he doesn't try to fix her. He just lets her be herself and then, like, you know, says, okay, I'll hold this plate for a while you spin the other one.
Yeah.
Like, just give me
just a
little
bit.
A little bit. That's like, it's a true partnership between them by the end. So.
Yeah, we need more men out there that are more supportive of their women being just them.
Yeah. So, I really loved Berg.
That is cool.
and Berg and Charlie. And then they had sex, and it was good.
Yes, it was. I'll give you that. That was definitely good. I find myself relating a little bit to Stevie and Max, in a sense. Not the genius part in Stevie, no. The forgetfulness. She forgets a lot. She forgets people that she'd just met. Or not just met, but people that she'd had, like, important things with. Like, she was a child prodigy, so she met other children, you know, children prodigies.
Yeah, they were in, like, a music school together, and every time...
wrote music and stuff together, and met up with these, I don't even remember what kind of wares they were. Were they
jackals? Even wares? Oh, yeah, no, jackals. They were all jackals. That whole genius family is all jackals.
She couldn't remember a single one except for the little one. Yeah. And she's just
and
like,
the, do not autograph? Only
and they're like, no, I'm famous too. Like, actually, I'm still famous.
Yeah. That's the funniest part, was the one that kept trying to get her to remember him is a current famous concert pianist. And he was touring the world when this book started, doing concert piano things. And she was just like, no, I don't know you. And they were in school together, and he was just so fucking baffled by that. No, I did. Stevie was great.
Yeah. And I'm not psychotic like Max is, but she's really protective. And I find myself pretty protective, too. But she's Asian, so I guess we've got that in common.
That's true.
We're just Asian. She's sassy. I find myself a little bit sassy, but she's a honey badger. 100% honey badger. So she goes for the throat, which is not me. I don't. I'm very anti-conflict. Kind of run away from conflict.
You do too, but I think if someone messes with your family, you're different. It's a different scenario.
It's definitely a different scenario, like, for sure.
Especially like your brother.
Yeah.
You protect him.
No, I do. And my sisters too. I do. And I don't have a problem with that. But if it's like over a little pity stuff.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at a drop of a dime, anything would tick Max off and she'd go crazy.
Yeah, I see that. That's another thing. Yeah, Max is Asian and Charlie is black. So there's multi-races. There's
super cool. Species.
There's multi-species. They're half-breeds. Mm-hmm. That comes up a couple different times in the book where certain, like, some of the animals, shifters, are more disposed to, like, full-blooded shifters as opposed to, you never know with half-breed shifters how they're going to go.
The hybrids.
The hybrid shifters, yeah. They're, like, unpredictable because there's two different animals.
It's so funny because they're all half-human or, like, part
human. They're all, like, part human.
It's still, you're a hybrid, too.
I know. But somehow some of them were prejudiced against the hybrids.
And Stevie, who is she's the blonde one, so she's the white one.
Yeah.
But she was accusing the polar bear of being racist.
Because he said that your kind's not welcome in my neighborhood. And she assumed he meant the racist.
Yeah, like the black sisters. And the Asian. But he just meant the honey badger.
She's just in a tree yelling, "You're racist!" at this guy. And he walks off muttering like, "Honey badger's not a racist. I'm not a racist. It's a species.
It's a species." Oh.
No, this book's fucking hilarious. And I really think everyone should read it. I really did. I when we picked this book, because I had found it just through, like, searching Goodreads, just, like, reading different lists on Goodreads and, like, clicking and clicking and clicking. And it came up when I was looking at paranormal romances, and I just was like, oh, this book's going to be ridiculous. And I thought it'd be funny to read. And it turns out it might be one of my favorites that we've read.
Well, that's good. Because
it really did mix, like, humor. Like, it did not take itself seriously. Because at the end of the day, that's really the thing. Didn't. That's some of the things that's harder in some of the past books we've read. These are fucking romance, like, paranormal romance books.
They
don't need to be that serious.
Fiction people.
Because it's fiction and it's nonsense fiction. Like,
makes sense.
It's vampires and fairies and angels and fucking unicorns and shit. Like, it is. Like, you do not have to take yourself all that seriously because this shit's not serious.
Right.
Like, it should be a little bit fun. So I was really, like, I was hoping there'd be a lot of tongue-in-cheek. Like, it's a fucking honey badger shifter. It better damn well be funny.
Well, we were both really excited about it last week or the other week about it, you know. I think if I was in a different state of mind.
Well, and again, you know, we don't all have to like all the books.
No, for sure.
But I really did. I just was like, no, this is it. And I think, you know, she really turned the tables on like that. I mean, he's a bear. He could have easily been overly masculine, like, and just aggressively grisly and like throwing her over his shoulder and marched her off up the stairs. But he was like so open hearted, like big hearted.
That's what he was.
Oh, he was just a big teddy bear. I want to climb him like a tree.
Well, Stevie did. She climbed all the other
bears. She did too. She climbed
the bears. She loved the panda bear.
Oh, she loved him.
Chen, right?
Chen, yeah.
And he's just like, I'm not dangerous, but I'm not cute. Or something like that. Where he was just like, get her off of me. She
well, just... he was attracted to her, but she just thought he was cute. And so he's like...
He was what?
Attracted to her.
To Stevie?
Yeah. That's what he told her sisters.
Oh, I missed that.
He's like, can you get her to stop? And they're like, well, does it really bother you? He's like, no. And that's the problem is I like it, and but she doesn't right. like me. She just thinks I'm cute.
That's and when Max is like, you gave him a bone. What is a
hard You made his dick hard. You stop. Made his dick hard. Stop petting the panda bear. You're making his dick hard.
That's what it was. That's me to a T.
Yes, yeah, you would have done
that. I'm really good with making other people uncomfortable, and I would say something like that.
So. Yeah. And he's just all embarrassed, eating his bamboo.
Oh,
I fucking loved it. This book is so good.
Yeah, they were good.
Well, you wouldn't have even mentioned your favorite character yet.
The
dog.
My favorite character doesn't speak. He's just some random stray dog. Some 200-pound random stray dog that fucking cock blocks Berg from Charlie all the time. And she's loving him because he's the stray dog. Like what Stevie said, you got a stray dog. And she's absolutely right because she gave the dog a name. The dog didn't have a name.
No.
He is just some big-ass dog well, that they had.
Berg's mother breeds big dogs. Dogs for the grizzlies. That's so she funny. Like gave them this dog, but he none never of them
gave him a name.
None of them named him, and he just kind of hung out in their house. And he kind of looks like they call him like a bear dog or something. Yeah. Like he's a giant.
He's 200 pounds.
I know that dog sounds huge.
Dog that's 200 pounds.
No, I don't understand. But yeah, he loves Charlie. So he comes and sits on her like mm-hmm. sits next to her and puts his head in her lap, and she pets him. And Berg's all jealous of his mm-hmm. own dog, and he's all like, "Wait, I didn't think I had to be."
Well, he'll come and, like, sneak in between, like, snuggle in between them and move him out of the way, and she goes straight for him.
For the dog, yeah. Mm-hmm. Moves bit, and Berg's just like...
He's like, you asshole. And then, but then the dog will look back at him like, yeah,
and smile. Yeah. Like, I got yep. your woman. No, that was really cute, too. And then he got the dog a friend. He went yeah. and got another dog, and she left.
Yep. Wait, the girl dog left?
Well, yeah, she came back.
Oh.
She ran away because he just picked up a dog at a pound and brought her into bear territory. And so the minute he took her off the leash, she fucking bolted. That's she's like, fun. And he's like, she'll come back. She's surrounded by bears. And then she did. She stormed right back and into the house, that's broke funny. The door.
I missed that part too.
Yeah.
That is funny. I know that he brought her a dog, you know, that she like ran away and came yeah. back.
But then, what did he name? What did she name the dog?
Benny.
But then Benny went after her.
Okay.
And like, then we're led to believe like, that yeah, now he has yeah, a girlfriend. Yeah. He's cool.
He's my favorite character.
Yeah. No, he was fun. Really, all the characters. Even the characters that you're kind of supposed to hate.
And that's the kind of confusing part. Which ones are the good guys? Which are the... Deanne is Deanne. Now that Max has now got something going on with Deanne.
Yeah, thing. She's not evil.
The wolf,
she's
right? Not, she's a wolf,
yeah, she's
right?
a wolf. She's one of the Smith clan.
Yeah, the Smith, yeah.
I think the only ones that are truly bad, I think there's only four. Their father, who's not bad so much as just a stupid just fuck, the fuck up, who destroys their lives. And then there's the twins, the Italian twins, aunts, who turn twins. Out to be their aunts. They are actually legitimately evil.
Yeah.
And then the crazy Mary from the prison.
That's right, the crazy Mary. And she's the one who's going to teach the twins about what they are, because they never
They didn't
knew.
Know they were honey badgers.
They didn't know that. And so now they're going to find out their true potential. And throughout this book, they are the ones that have been sending people to hunt down Charlie and Max to get killed, and then take Stevie, kidnap
yeah,
Stevie.
Yeah, there's this really convoluted plot line about they are super wealthy Italians whose mother, full-blown human mother, had sex with one of the McKilligan, like, grandfather? The grandfather? Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name.
The grandfather.
But, and gave birth, and I then he say left.
Robbie. Robert, that's wrong, though.
Clyde? Maybe, whatever. we don't know John. His name. Bob. And, like, had twins, but then he left her. He's the one that started all the different McKilligan groups.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that then also came, like, he was married in in Scotland and had a whole clan there. Then they knew he came to America and started a whole new branch of the family in America. But then they just found out in this book that there's these two Italians
yep.
that are part of the family. But they don't know that they're honey badgers. Right. They are just mad at the McKilligans because... he was married and left their mother.
Right.
Even though she went on and sounded like lived a great life and started a business and became a multi-billionaire.
Pretty much.
Which she left to her daughters. So why are you gonna be fucking pissed? You have billions of dollars.
Yeah, they blamed her for her death.
So then they destroyed the rest of everything. I don't know. It was nonsense because they had a plane with tanning beds and like a full-on spa in it. Like at one point in their airplane, in their private jet, they were getting manicures and pedicures after having been in their tanning beds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you have enough money to put a spa on your private jet, you don't need to worry about some fucking family that maybe or may not have been the reason why your dad didn't stay with your mom.
Right, right.
Like, that's just nonsense.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. They were the impetus behind everything. Yeah. They were the ones throwing entire squads of armed military trained men at these three sisters who were kept getting just mowed the fuck down. They
killed.
They killed a lot of people in this book.
They did.
You guys, I really love this book. It's really all I can say about it. I think the family dynamics, that's what Berg give to Charlie too, is like he didn't find her sisters all that weird because his brother and sister were pretty fucking weird too. And just, it's the way things are.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to find just someone with the same weirdness.
For sure. I mean, you find the person that you're going to be with. For either ever or for a long time, start a family with or whatever. You don't marry just them, you marry their family, you know? So my family's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
My family is crazy. I love my sisters and I love my brother, but Jesus Christ, they've got their problems. Not that I don't. I have my own problems too. But there's a lot of like other craziness that are happening with that. And Dan married that family. And I fucking love Dan's family. They're great. They're great, great people. So, yeah, you marry the family, too. I think that's something that Charlie... I mean, granted, her sisters are a little bit more crazy, and so is she because of the, you know, honey badger stuff. But, I don't know. I think if people just realize nobody's perfect, and you're just going to be in whatever relationship you're going to be in, it doesn't really matter. You make it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't... If you want to give somebody a try, then let them have a chance. And if they really can't stand your family, then they'll leave.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say no to love just because your fucking sister's nuts.
Or you don't introduce them to your family, which is my approach to the world. I take a different tact. And I go, I don't have a family. What do you mean? No.
No, I was just created.
Nope. I sprung from the earth full form.
Just me.
As I am.
Oh, that's my brother.
True, I have one of those.
Also, he lives with me.
That's true. So, they might occasionally meet him, but that's it. No one else. There's no other family to meet.
I love your family. I love your mom, and I love your dad, and I love your brother.
Nope. They do not exist. Nope, not as far as any of my boyfriends concerned.
Yeah.
I think it's time we move on to this year, or, you know, for this book, we're kind of going to wrap up our kiss and tell and fun fuck fact all together in a kind of, I don't know, overarching.
Yeah, no, I think what we just talked about is a good segue into our fun fuck fact and our kiss and tell.
Yeah. So in this book, at different times, you know, race came up, but also, more importantly for the characters of this book, the hybrid species, you know, the honey badger wolf, the honey badger tiger, there were a couple other hybrids in there, like different pairings, like a wolf and a panda, I think. No, a panda and a honey badger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, there was a couple different, like, different couples that we met throughout the book that were interspecies couples. So we thought we kind of, like, stretched that into the topic of interracial relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of talking about that and how it's interesting to talk about.
Yeah. Well, why not? I mean, this book really brings in she brings in so many different species.
Yeah. All the other ones that we've really seen shifter-wise in previous books have been just one. Like, here's wolves, or here's dragons. There's never been, like, mixing of species, you know, different, like, and they're all, like, living together and hanging out together and being, you know, in different councils that all just try to protect them from humans. So this is, you know, it was a whole lot of species mm-hmm. living together in harmony, or like not all harmony, they fought a lot, but yeah. trying to live together. And so, yeah, kind of a stepping off point for
yeah.
talking about interracial relationships mm-hmm. in America. And that's really our focus, yes, because we know America. I don't know other America? Other countries as well. I can't speak to it as well.
Yeah. So I'll give you the fun fact first, which comes from pewresearch.org. Pew, 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 pew. sorry, that's what this is for.
It's like spit water all over the mic.
Okay. Key facts about race and marriage 50 years after Loving versus Virginia. So I'll just give you this real quick. In 1967, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the Loving versus Virginia case that marriage across racial lines were legal throughout the country. Intermarriage was increased steadily since then. One in six U.S. newlyweds, which is 17%, were married to a person of a different race or ethnicity in 2015, a more than five-fold increase from 3% in 1967. So that's pretty fucking awesome. And then real quick, because this one pertains to me personally, about 3 in 10 Asian newlyweds in the U.S. are intermarried. So Asians and Hispanic newlyweds are more likely to be intermarried. Nearly 3 in 10 Asian newlyweds, 29%, were married to someone of a different race or ethnicity in 2017, as were 27% of Hispanic newlyweds. So
it's definitely increasing since the days not all that long ago.
Right, that was
when it wasn't even legal. They had to make it legal across the whole country in that court case of 67. So
I find it so baffling that people could put a limit on love. Like a limit on what your heart is allowed to feel and what you as a human being is, you know, supposed to feel. As you know, it's just your given right to be a fucking human being. I don't understand how anybody could say you can't be with that person because of this. You can't be with that person because they're a psychotic serial killer. Okay, I get that.
They're in jail.
Maybe not.
In prison for murder.
You can't be with that person because they're 7 years old.
But we can't actually even stop that. Oh wait, that one we can't. I was going back to the murder one. Because you can still be in a relationship, they just may not have any, like, contact or, like...
Right.
You know, maybe, but people do yeah. still get into relationships with people in prison, so see?
Right. And it's...
Sorry. So no, I really derailed that conversation. You'd moved on, and I was like, back it up. No, I still agree with you. You cannot have relationships with children.
Right.
That's the line.
Yeah. You know, and they'll turn... like, it's okay... It's not okay for someone to marry somebody because they're black and white. It's okay if I marry this 13-year-old because she's my child. But fuck you. No, that is not okay. There's still morals.
So they're not the same thing.
It's not. It's adults totally not making the same thing. Just cognitive decisions on their own is different than you making a decision for a child who doesn't know any better.
And is being forced into things.
Being forced into things.
Nope.
But if you...
Children are not the same as adults.
If you're just a regular yellow person that wants to marry another regular black person, fucking do it. If you are a man who wants to marry another man, fucking do it. Just do it. And just don't say anything about it. None of that shit matters. It just... 1967. That was... I'm going to do bad math here.
50 years ago. But the article said 50 years ago. When was the article written? I guess that changes things.
No, you're right. You know, that. I mean, really, 50 years ago, that not that long ago, that there was a law against people saying you can't marry that person because they are not of the same color as you.
Hell, what?
It's just...
3 years ago, there was a law. Most states, you couldn't marry same sex.
That is also baffling to me.
Fucking recent.
I don't get it. I mean, I love that we're living through our day and age, that we get to experience this kind of stuff. We've got to experience all sorts of great stuff happening in American culture and our society. And a lot of really weird and fucked up and just baffling shit. It's just so...
It's amazing that this
it's just,
is happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome that we get to live through that and experience it. But I just find it so weird that that was even such a thing. That it was just not allowed. I don't get it. To this day and age. My husband is white. My kids are half white, half Asian. While I am an American, I was born here, I was raised here. My bloodline goes way back to Cambodia. I've got, like... 7% Chinese in me or something. I don't remember, but almost 100% Cambodian. I don't know. It never crossed my mind.
Well, not just you, all your sisters.
That's true.
Like, it's almost your whole generation.
Pretty much. Yeah. My oldest sister's late husband is, he's white. My second sister, he's white and Native American. It's, yeah, not just that. Everybody and my other parts of my family too, some of my cousins, and you know, it's just such a beautiful thing. But it would just be just as beautiful even if it wasn't just another Asian coupling or another white coupling.
Yeah,
it's just two people,
yeah,
loving and reproducing.
That's what's more important.
Yeah,
just being in love, like people finding love, then doesn't matter what your race or ethnicity is. Yeah. It shouldn't matter.
It should never matter.
And I think that we're getting closer, mm-hmm. you know, to a place where people just don't even see it anymore. But it's not there yet, obviously. But
it shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, I agree with you. I think it shouldn't, and I hope to live to see where it doesn't at all. You know,
just for sure.
Love who you love.
Love who you love.
Fall in love and damn to be anyone who thinks it's wrong because of race or ethnicity.
Right.
Just like the honey badgers. And and she's now in love with a grizzly.
I know.
They're so,
so awesome.
I so love them. Oh. All right. I think that's all we got for this book. I just really, like, oh no, we have to do our rating, which mine is just, it's a 10. It's just a 10.
Oh, everybody go fucking read this book. Oh my God, you got a 10? Yeah. We literally were like, oh, this book, we're never going to have a 10.
I don't even remember what 10 was.
10 was...
We don't have the one book that has all of the ratings.
I know. I didn't bring my notebook. No, it's on my phone. I have it. But, wow.
I actually probably shouldn't give it a 10.
I think it's mind blown. What was it?
But I really want to give it a 10.
Fuck it. If you want to give it a 10, give it a 10. I'm pulling it up right now. Thank you, Audacity. I found God. 10 is I found God. That's a 5-star.
That's kind of... Yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to stick with 10.
Wow.
I don't know. I love this book. I think it's my emotional state. I was just feeling so warm and fuzzy about it the whole time.
Sure.
And I was laughing.
Well, okay, are you giving it a 10 overall? Because we have the sexy rating and then we have the overall rating.
That's true.
So, the sexy rating...
I can't in good conscience give the sex... Oh, we haven't barely even talked about it. Sorry, guys. The sex podcast got off the rails. But I can't in good conscience give the sex a 10. It was really good. Like, it
was
the
sexy.
Thing is... There was not enough of it.
There were only 2 scenes.
They were towards the end. They really built to him, which I do appreciate because that was part of my whole thing about Berg was being really cool and not just being all like demanding for sex. But once they did it, like that first time, it was
good.
It was long, like scene. It was well written. It was just very intense. Like. Mm-hmm. They had sex all night.
Different positions, orgasms.
Lots of orgasms.
Lots of head.
Whew.
Yeah.
Lots of that.
Lots of good shit happening there.
Actually, there was no her giving him blowjob.
No.
It was just him
giving her head. Hey, they said that in the book.
Yes. Gave her head. I know. It was so good. It was a really good sex scene. It just was only, like you said, there were like 2.
Yeah.
So, it would have been nice to have another one at some point. I can't give it a 10 for that, but I think that sex was probably an 8.
Okay.
It was good sex.
The sex was good. Yeah.
It just wasn't...
It was described well. It wasn't plenty.
It wasn't plenty, but it was... Like, when she got to it, she didn't gloss over it.
Right.
Like, it was...
She knew the right words.
There was penises and vaginas or pussies and dick and...
Clits.
Everything.
Yep.
And yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like an 8 for sex and like a 10... Oh, God, that's hard to give a 10 overall if I don't give it for sex. But I still really do. No, I love this book.
I don't think so.
I'm going to just say it. I love this book and I want everyone to read it. It's a 10.
I think you're okay with saying that. I'll give this sex 7.5. I liked it. It was borderline 8. They were good, but not enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think because I had a harder time following this book. And I think I might give the book the same about 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
8. I can give it an 8. I want to give it another try when I'm feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm more attentive, because I just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't feeling it. And towards the end, when I was feeling better, I understood it better. But then I lost track of what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. I would recommend it too. But those are my readings for now feeling the way I feel.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely give this book a shot.
Yeah. Kalina loved it.
I love this book.
So if you guys have been following Kalina more than you've been following me, read this book.
Honey badgers are awesome. Honey
badger don't. All right. So our next book is The First Drop of Crimson by Janine Frost, narrated by Tavia Gilbert. Now, if you guys remember, we have read Janine Frost, or we have listened to Janine Frost, Tavia Gilbert mashup, and that was episode something called First Burned? For Dark... Nope. First Burned is not Frost? A book. Frost?
No, that's her name. Janine Frost,
Janine
right?
Janine Frost.
First...
Nope. The First Burned.
It's not something that. Burned. What the fuck is it?
What is it?
Shit.
God damn it.
I think we'd know our own goddamn books.
Once Burned.
Because this is First Drop.
That's why I said First Burned. Yep. I knew it was Burned something. Once Burned. And it was with Vlad Tepes, and we did not enjoy that much.
We didn't enjoy him very much. But we did like the book and the narrator.
The story was good.
We hated Vlad. So we're going to give Janine another shot mm-hmm. with a new series and a new vampire.
Yes.
And let's fingers cross that he's not Romanian and awful.
We're hoping so.
Let's see how this goes. I think it'll be interesting to compare them.
Yeah, it'll be a good comparison to the other one for sure.
So, well, thank you for following along with us, and you can stay in touch with us outside of our podcast by following us on all the social medias. We are Dirty Books at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, and that is with 3 H's.
Yes, and you can find us on any podcast platform out there.
Apple Podcasts,
SoundCloud,
Google Podcasts,
Google Play. Wait, is it Google Podcasts now?
I don't fucking know.
Nobody knows. Wherever you found us.
Yeah. Download
we're
us
there.
Anywhere.
We're there.
You should find us.
And at our website at shdirtybooks.com.
Yes.
So thank you for coming back to us.
And we'll see you next time.
Yes.
Keep reading.
Good night.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Kalina and Saylet. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Get some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy and wonderful introduction.